So at this point in our service, I'm going to introduce our speaker for today, who will guide us in a meditation, and then we'll sing together our thoughts, our prayers. I always look forward to the Sunday when our minister emeritus comes back to share her wisdom with us. So let's give a warm welcome to Beth Monteith.
Thank you so much. Please become comfortable in your places. As we remember together that we live and move and have our very being in a divine oneness of love and wisdom and power and peace. This oneness is called by many names, but the names don't matter. Our experience of it is what we seek and what we're open to, that we recognize that we live in it, we move in it, everywhere. That this divine beingness fills us in all places and all spaces. We turn to you. Willing to be the conduit of your beingness, the conduits of love, of peace and wisdom, of joy and healing power, of wisdom and encouragement, of forgiveness, of love. This is our prayer. And so it is. Amen. And we are always praying. Our thoughts are prayer. A state of peacefulness. want to say that I've been enjoying the fellowship a lot lately. Not only is the gift of your singing such a touching gift and blessing to us, but last night a number of us chose to honor the commitment that the fellowships had to Haiti and to be able to be blessed by Matt and his band, which was spectacular. And a minute ago, I was just mentioning that to Matt, and he said, well, remember, Beth, that I practiced here for 20 years. And how fondly we remember your practicing, and we hope you'll come back and practice more. You can always get better, right? Another aspect of the fellowship that I really enjoyed so much in the last several months has been the fellowship school. I decided to start just to experiment and take a class, and now I'm just hooked. Mary is one of the most spectacular facilitator, teachers, encouragers, space makers that I have ever witnessed. And I'm a professional in the area, and I'm so amazed by the gifts that I receive in attending the fellowship school. And it's open to any of us that would like not to enter necessarily into the ministerial track, but just take one of the classes. So tell us again what the next class is going to be that starts in 3 weeks, I think, or abundance consciousness. And Mary's style of teaching allows everyone to be heard and to wrestle with the topics and share opinions. So if you're thinking of a class being something where you're going to go and write down all the right answers and parrot them back, it's nothing like that. And so, yeah, thank you. Thank you for giving us all the gifts and the opportunities that you do. The Course in Miracles says that the healing of God's child is what the world is for. And I think we all want to be healed. The wonderful song that you sang, "Raise, God will raise us up on eagle's wings and fill us with its divine being." I mean, isn't that what we all want? I mean, isn't that why we read and why we come to fellowship and go to other places so that and participate in our 12-step programs? Because we all intuitively know that we have healing to do. And so when years ago when I read the Course said the healing of God's child is, you know, the Course has old language, so it says son, but I've never bought that. And so I say that the Course says the healing of God's child is what the world is for. Oh, good. Oh, good. And that's why we study and that's why we participate in our classes and courses and churches, and also why a lot of us have spent quite a bit of time in therapy. Right? I mean, we just said, I think I can do better than this. And maybe if I could just get at it. And that's what we're all continuing to do, I believe. But I've often said those of us that were teachers had an insurance policy that paid for therapy when I was a teacher. And all of us kept all the therapists in Lansing busy. They were glad, we were glad, but we learned so much. And I hope that all of you that could took advantage of that and can still take advantage of it, because a lot of therapy, as those of us know, is sitting down and explaining, talking, saying it, maybe having a person occasionally ask a question, but really, we all do our own work in therapy, don't we? And discover things that we puzzled us or we didn't know. So it's always fun for me to figure out what I'm going to say here, because I never really can quite get it until fairly late in the week. But I remember thinking, and it's helpful for me to think like this, I think, well, what if this is the last time I ever got to speak at fellowship? What would I want to say to you? And that's a great way, if you're ever stuck in trying to figure out what to talk to people about, ask yourself that question. And then see, of course, the list could go on forever, but see what you think. And so, of course, I only want to write three things, and I wrote four, and I wrote six, and I think I've got a little one stuck on top of one of these. But these are the things that I would have, and all my speaking opportunities, I would tell you with the thought that what we've come here to do is to heal, right? And the first thing I wrote down is, listen for and discover your wise and assuring inner voice or higher self. If you haven't started finding it yet, start doing that. And the way you're going to do that is to ask, to believe that it's there, and you're going to get little nudges, little thoughts or little assurances. And I think sometimes it's very helpful to write those down. But listen for and discover that voice for God that's in all of us. There's a kindness and a wisdom in it, and it'll start talking to you. I remember the first time I heard all of a sudden, I mean, a lot of years ago, that I clearly, that's not me saying that. I was receiving just, I mean, I have no idea what it was at the time, but it was a higher self. Our higher self that will speak. So how are you going to do that? Well, you're going to practice. You're going to be open. You're going to be willing. Sitting with the, I kind of like the pen in your hand idea, because I think it is helpful for me and maybe for you, but just allowing ideas to flow and just be willing is the way I would say. Practice it. Practice it. You know, this isn't going to just flying and be full-blown for most of us. I mean, some of us could be, but start doing it on kind of a beat, maybe daily, I would say. This is sort of one beat. Start realizing that your life and all of its issues, especially the ones that drive you a little crazy, are a result of your consciousness. So study yourself. Your life, all of our lives, we're living consciousness, we're living individual consciousness, we're living group consciousness. And just start noticing what you're living and what challenges you have and also what wonderful aspects you have. And just allow that idea, that's my consciousness that I'm living. Now, some of us have had the experience in our life to realize the little idea that I've often said, that we should stop shooting the screen. You know, when you go to the movies and the bad guy is there, you know better than to believe that if you could only shoot the screen, it would be taken care of. You do all know that it's being projected, right? Well, that's our life, too. So many of us have had that experience years ago when we thought the solution was to get rid of that other person, that significant other, because they weren't right. And then we realized that one or two or three years later, we brought the exact same person, only a different person, right in, right? Now, how can we do that? Because that was our consciousness. And that's who we, and, you know, some of us stopped there and some of us kept on going. And we won't go into that because somebody is probably still there. Okay. I think this is number two or three. Okay, three. So, my next suggestion is when a teacher or an idea catches your attention, go with it. And go with it. Take it as far as it'll take you. Like, squeeze all the juice out of it. Eventually, you'll probably go into something else. But if there is a teacher or a teaching or a book line that speaks to you, get in there and study it. And potentially study it with somebody else if you're so inclined, if you have another person that looks like that. But and just take it as far as it'll go. And eventually, you'll probably learn all you're supposed to learn from it, right? But do it, because you'll gain that experience, and it's calling to you because there's something there for you to learn or to take on. Number four. Practice stepping out of your world daily. That is what meditation or prayer visualization can do. In the Lord's Prayer, which is one of the great practices of stepping out of your world, You know, we're in our world, we're in our ego identity. How's the house? Did you get this? Did you go through your list? Are you paying your taxes? You know, what are your kids doing? Well, it's constant. I mean, we live in this. Where are we going on vacation? Oh, we don't want to go there. Whatever. Okay. If we want to grow spiritually, we absolutely must learn to step out of our world. And most of us call that meditation. But do it however it rings for you, you know. Bathtubs really work well for me. I think floating in hot water can take you out of the gravity field and give you an experience beyond that. But I think one of the greatest practices can come from the Lord's Prayer. How many of you were raised with the Lord's Prayer in your life? Oh, good. Okay. I believe the Lord's Prayer is a spiritual treatment that is incredible. And it bothers me to hear people say it in unison or sing it, because it just makes it this sing-song of Father. You know, and it's not that at all. It's a deep path. And I think, I use it a lot, and particularly the beginning of the prayer is so powerful. And I think what it says is, My source is from the divine kingdom. I and you and all of us are sourced not from a physical. We are created. Our Father, which art in heaven, our source, which art in heaven. Your holiness, and then it says, thy kingdom come. And for me, because I practice that, I can move into an awareness with that, that is that divine kingdom. And I believe that idea was taught by the Master, Jesus. And I believe he was a God-realized Master, and I believe there's been other ones, but he's the one that's come to us in this Western world that we're part of. So that means to take time stepping out of your world, out of your identity, out of your stuff, and move into a sense of the kingdom and see what happens. That's what I'm saying, because I think everybody will do that and experience it differently. And I think we have to do that at least daily. If we want to get it, you know, if we really want to heal, if we want to live our full potential, because we're here with this potential for insight and love and healing power and peace and all that stuff, right? Physical, our early new thoughters were all physical healers. They were all saying, your body is responding to consciousness. There's a healing path out of the issue. We have lots of books by them, if any of you ever want to look at that and get into it. But Mary Baker Eddy, of course, in Christian Science, but the Fillmores both had huge healings. They were, in both cases, given up for hopeless and had full recoveries and died old, you know, in their 90s, and knew they were leaving. The story at Unity Village is that Myrtle went around and said bye to people and went home and got in bed and passed. And in many cases, the Unity Lord says hardly any of those people ever got sick and died. We've attached those two thoughts together. They lived healthy and left. So allowing yourself the practice of stepping out, of taking on a new identity. We are loaded with limiting identities, you know. And if we watch TV or hear people, you're just going to hear about how sick and miserable you basically are. And, right? And then, but somebody's got something that'll help you out of there, right? So, number five. What did I mean by that? Oh, I'll return. Okay. When you're doing your studying, change the words and images that work for you. Don't get stuck in somebody else's dogma or definition. You create it. You know, we say God is love. Love, that's better than God for a lot of us. When I first started studying the Course in Miracles, which was about 1970-something, I never used the word God for years. I always just said love. And it's still half the words in the Course. I have to change, but my thought for you is when you come up against something that's not making sense, then fix it, change it, allow it to, you know, be yours. So change words and images that work for you. The him and her stuff. I won't start. The Trinity stuff. You know, allow yourself to create an experience of divine allness, divine oneness, that it's not, it's got to be like this. You know, and if you find yourself pushing back from it, recreate it and see where you go with that. You can always change your mind, you know. Okay, and this is my last one. I think this is number six. If possible, join a couple people in a study of spiritual material. I like that every other week idea right now, or twice a month. Personally, I know it's an illusion, but I think that as you get older, time truly does go faster. It does, doesn't it? Yeah. See? Everybody with gray hair knows that's true. And so I think a group that meets at most twice a month, and I'm part of two of those such groups, is perfect. Because otherwise, you can't believe that you've got to keep doing it again. If you're doing it every week, you know, it's just not as much fun. So, In summary, we are here to heal. I believe that, to discover who we truly are. We have unlimited assistance because we live and move and have our being in it. All the limitations that we carry around are imposed by our culture, by the definitions that were given us, or some, not me, thinking. We are here to heal, and we can do that, make great progress, and encourage each other in our trek on angels' strength. Thank you.